Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. For the second time this month, I have a dietitian for you. That is because I believe so strongly in our nutrition's role in helping to run, lift, mom our best. This time I've got Kathy Stoner from Baby and Me Nutrition. Kathy is a registered dietitian who specializes in pregnancy and postpartum nutrition. Without further ado, here's Kathy Stoner. All right, Kathy, welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So you are the second registered dietitian that we've had here this month. I am a blessed girl. Tell me though, so we're getting specific awesome. Today.
Yes.
You know, we know how capable you are as a health professional, but mm-hmm. you have a very specific service area in mm-hmm. serving pregnant and new mothers. Can you tell me how you got into that niche specifically?
Yeah, of course. So I've been a registered dietitian for about 10 years. I knew at 17 I wanted to be a dietitian. I grew up in a very integrative household where we did a lot of nutrition therapy, just naturally, alternative health. And so I've always loved wellness in general, just kind of more off the beaten path. Nutrition therapy. And
so you mean like food heals your body type of
absolutely. Yes.
Great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up with a good amount of digestive disorders. And when conventional medicine failed, my parents, thankfully I credit a lot to them, really guided me towards nutrition. And so I really fell in love with that as a therapy. And I gravitated towards women's health really early to it. And it was fun for me to study, but of course, my story goes even deeper. Really, I connected with women's health and pediatric health really through my own journey to and through. I really just fell in love with prenatal nutrition and postpartum nutrition and feeding babies really after my second baby was born. I had my daughter in 2014. And I really just like thought I was prepared. I think probably like many women,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to eat kale salads the whole time and I'm going to exercise and postpartum will be easy. And I just was a bit blindsided by how much more my body needed than I was giving it. So my second time around, I really dove in to prenatal nutrition a lot more, really started honoring my body during that time.
Now
a lot deeper. And
can I ask,
yeah.
So I'm doing my math and you're giving me the timelines here. You were already
yes.
a dietitian when
yes.
in 2014, yeah. you have that for, so, I mean,
yeah, you, right.
So you,
it's,
you're the
it's
food
hard for
girl.
Anybody
you're the,
and everybody.
You're lovingly the food police, right? And you're the health woman.
Right.
And then, so what I hear you saying is that personal experience made you say, oh, yikes, this is kind of a different ballgame.
Absolutely. And I felt like there was a big gap, you know, between recommendations and guidelines for women during pregnancy and postpartum periods and really what we needed and what we were getting as guidance from our OBs. That's not their job. That's our jobs as dietitians. But, you know, I felt like I went to the doctor and most women have this experience. They say, okay, you're pregnant or you're trying to get pregnant. Let's take a prenatal mm-hmm. and avoid these foods. And that's it. You know, we're like, oh, okay, great. You know, I'm already eating pretty healthy. I'm a dietitian. But in reality, our bodies need so, so, so much more than that. And I really kind of fell in love with birth and just the birth world and the mom and baby world. And so for the past 2 years, I started focusing really a private practice on that subject because with the birth and pregnancy and postpartum of my son, who was my second, it just was a whole different empowering experience. And so I'm really excited to share that information with others, women who need a little bit more than just the general recommendations.
Oh, I love that you have the personal experience of maybe having room to improve yeah. as well as
always,
you know, I guess having your own medicine as well as other.
Yeah.
Now you've got a practice focused on this. So you've worked with a lot
yes.
of women, Kathy. I'm assuming yes. that like eating sushi isn't the biggest mistake that you see women making.
No, not at all.
Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Like, what's the biggest, what's the biggest boo-boo we're making out there when we are expecting baby?
I think the biggest, I guess, mistake we're making is not focusing on nutrition, actually not making any alterations to our nutrition when we're pregnant or when we're trying to conceive or even postpartum. Like I mentioned with my first experience, I think many have that experience where we focus a lot on the foods that we shouldn't be eating, right? We focus a lot on, oh, we shouldn't be eating, you know, like you said, eating sushi, which we can talk about, or I shouldn't be drinking alcohol or, you know, things like that. And then I'll take my prenatal. And that's the only adjustments we make. Our mistake is that we're not focusing on the foods that we should be eating to build baby and to help mom's body support her pregnancy and postpartum period. So now we know that prenatal nutrition can make huge influences on mom and baby. So we know that what baby's exposed to, positive or negatively, can turn on or off genes in their body, in utero. And we know it can influence baby's health through adulthood by, you know, predisposing them to chronic diseases. We know that it can affect their brain development, their risk for allergies, and boost their immune system, all based on what they're exposed to in utero. And a lot of times we're just kind of eating like we normally would, except for our cravings here and there,
right.
And we're missing this opportunity to set our baby up for success and really feel empowered by that time where we have a lot of control over our babies. You know, when they come out, we start to lose a little bit of that control. And it really can be super empowering and influential on mom to know that we have these things that we can do to help baby from the very beginning.
So I know there are people that are listening that are maybe planning to conceive or they're pregnant themselves. Like, what should they put on their shopping list for groceries?
Yeah, that's a great one. So there's going to be a few things for their shopping list, and this can be from the beginning. So I do want to say that I'll give this shopping list for sure, but I want to say the biggest thing is you want to do the best you can. You know, if you're not getting all of these, you know, through the weeks, that's okay. I think your listeners are probably people who are rule followers and very health conscious. So if you're not getting this really during pregnancy, especially during that first trimester, of course, baby is going to be very healthy. These are just things to boost baby and also mom's health, you know, to help prepare for the postpartum period and to help have a low complication birth and things like that.
I'll tell you, though, on this show several times, we have talked about don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Yes.
So guys, keep that advice, or it really is kind of a theme on the show, in mind. As Kathy,
okay, I love that. Yeah, that's super important, because you know, even just a few things adding into your diet from what we talk about can boost baby's health and mom's body during this time. So, well, I think the first thing to make sure you're getting a good amount of during pregnancy is a good amount of protein.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. But protein specifically from your animal products. So ideally, you know, organic and grass-fed if you can. But meats, eggs, fish, there's so many great things. We could talk about each of those specific foods and nutrients for a really long time. But we know that during pregnancy, iron is very, very important. Your iron needs go up tremendously. So your calorie needs actually don't go up very much, but your nutrient needs increase significantly. So for example, we need about 9 milligrams of iron on a non-pregnant state, but when we're pregnant, we need 27 milligrams a day.
Wow. So it's tripled,
it goes up significantly,
the amount of something that a lot of women are failing to get enough of anyway.
Exactly. And of course, when you have low iron, when you're pregnant, you're fatigued, you have other complications that could happen, and you're fatigued anyway, you know, so you don't want to have anything else aggravate that. So getting enough protein can help iron. So specifically, your animal proteins have a good amount of iron. So your chicken, your fish, beef, turkey, things like that, but also protein just in general. So if you need to add a protein powder and protein shake, that helped me meet my needs a lot better just from food sources, especially that first trimester when not much sounds good.
Yeah, but you mentioned nuts, organic and grass-fed, obviously being like quality being king. I've got a lot of military listeners that know they can go to the commissary for some of this. What is your opinion on like CSA style? Like, where would you suggest someone go to get?
To get kind of affordable, good produce.
Yeah, $1 on a budget.
I mean, produce and food. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know exactly where all your listeners are from, but I shop, we're on a budget too, always, you know, who isn't? And I shop at Aldi. Does anybody know about Aldi? Yeah. You can get grass fed beef there, ground beef, for like $4 a pound, $4.50 a pound. It's pretty awesome. So they have a lot of great organic produce as well. And listen, we're not going to be perfect. Again, you know, there's, I sometimes give people the, like, if you're going to buy organic, your animal products are probably where you want to go, like your meats and your dairy. And then there's a few fruits and vegetables that you want to keep an eye out for. You can look up like the Dirty Dozen or ones that you generally recommend. But even if you do like an every other week thing, you know,
I'll link to the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, so
I'll link to that. What people will do is in this podcast, they'll click on the purple hyperlink that says details, and then they'll see that in the show notes.
Yeah, that's great. So protein is a big one. You know, your body is growing a baby from scratch, right? You have, it's crazy, but we're growing bones and we're growing ligaments and tendons, and our body is stretching. So a lot of your animal proteins not only have iron, but they have zinc and collagen, and things that will really help your skin and baby's skin adjust to, you know, to growth. So protein is important. Also, fat is extremely important. Baby's brain is 60% fat. So that's pretty crazy for brain development. Fat is really important. So I think, you know, thankfully, fat isn't getting much of a bad rap in the nutrition space as it used to. But I always recommend, you know, cooking with some grass-fed butter, drizzle olive oil over your salads more than you generally would, handfuls of walnuts and almonds and Brazil nuts, avocado, of course. So including more healthy fats into your diet, specifically omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in like salmon and some in like free-range eggs. Omega-3 fatty acids are found in really dense amounts in baby's brain and eye tissue. So if we can affect, which we know we can, research says that we can really impact baby's vision and baby's brain development by getting a good amount of omega-3. So salmon and other fatty fish are a great way to include some of those.
So you mentioned eggs, of course, and I love that because we talk about being on a budget. There's a really great budget-friendly source of protein and fat.
And
now you mentioned you're bringing it a little bit full circle because earlier you were like, I can touch on sushi if you want. With salmon though, so if I am expecting and I like fish, I can still cook my fish and eat my fish and have sushi with cooked fish. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You know, in other countries, like in Japan, sushi is actually encouraged during pregnancy.
And is that because of the fat source?
That's because of the fat source. And it also is generally made with seaweed, which is a really great iodine source, which is important during pregnancy. Iodine supports thyroid, which is kind of in, has a lot of really important responsibilities and is really an overdrive when you're pregnant. So the most important thing is really food safety rules apply even more just because your immune system is lower when you're pregnant. So, you know, of course, making sure that your fish is cooked well. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing about sushi and fish in general is kind of use your intuition. I would purchase sushi from a reputable location with really fresh fish if you can.
Right.
I wouldn't like get gas station sushi,
right?
You know? So use your, like, if it smells bad, or if it feels funky, like follow your gut and your intuition with that. And, of course, if you just feel safer with eating cooked fish, then, that's go for it, you know,
but we could do we could go out to sushi and do a veggie roll or a seaweed salad or something with cooked fish. Like we can have our sushi night.
You can do that. Yeah. You can feel really good about
it. I love
that. Yeah. No problem with it. I think a lot, again, that's one of those food lists that we feel like, oh, we can't ever have that. And we focus on the negative of it. When we eliminate that, we actually eliminate a lot of really important nutrients from our prenatal diet.
So I know you probably have some parents that, I'm hearing you loud and clear on our protein sources, our animal protein sources are going to be great for, again, that protein macronutrient as well as the fat.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I know I've got some people out there that are like, girl, you know, I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
So we know vegan and vegetarian. Yeah. She now knows what she can do with fish. Pescatarian means you eat fish. What are you saying to that vegetarian?
So I would say, I'm going to say a couple things. And this first one is a bit controversial, probably. I have been a vegan. I've done the vegan thing for a little bit. I tried it. I was a very vegetarian for time. So I do know that there's a time and a season for a lot of women that feels best for their health. And actually there's sometimes that I'm okay with that. But during preconception, especially if someone's having trouble conceiving in pregnancy and postpartum, it's so hard to meet those nutrients requirements without animal products. So I generally recommend during that time, just during pregnancy and postpartum and preconception, to try to include fish or eggs. You don't have to include, like, you don't have to start eating steak or anything like that. But I usually recommend trying to consider eggs and fish just because the science is so significant of how it supports mom and baby during that time. And if it's an ethical thing for you, then I absolutely understand. But if it's kind of a health related thing, I would recommend considering fish or eggs to support you during that time. But if it's ethical, there are a lot of good, continue focusing on plant-based proteins, but you just have to make sure that pretty much at every meal, you're getting some form of plant-based protein, and fat is going to be what you want to focus on when you're vegan or vegetarian. So making sure you're getting a good amount of plant-based oils and proteins.
That is a really great tip for all the time if it is an ethical concern.
Yeah.
May I share something with you, Kathy?
Absolutely.
So listeners of this show will know that I struggled for years with infertility. Mm-hmm. And I actually was a vegetarian prior to that. And it was because I was in grad school. I was studying nutrition. Yeah. The China study got me, whatever. That's what it's about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been there.
What it's about is if somebody else is in that position where they're hearing you, Kathy, and they're like, okay, maybe I could introduce something that gives me a lot of bang for my buck. Mm-hmm. For me, eggs were the easiest because there are so many different ways. For me, it was a texture thing with, like, now I'm fine now. My current friends are laughing because, like, I'll do all the meat now. But to reintroduce that, y'all, I could not do it with, like, sausage or steak or chicken. It was a texture thing.
Yeah.
And eggs make it really easy. And luckily, we know they give us the most bang for our buck. And so I would just personally recommend starting there, just like you're saying. I love that. Hey, my personal advice is consistent with a very capable dietitian.
Right. I love that. Yeah. For fertility clients, I say eat your eggs for your eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great place to start. Like I said, you know, I don't recommend just like starting full force eating a lot of animal proteins if you haven't been doing that. But we've seen a lot of great research and personal success stories where women are including foods from every single food group during fertility. And this is a different conversation. Probably I don't want to go too far into it, but usually I recommend including foods from all food groups just to support your body. And so your body knows, hey, I'm not in a time of famine or scarcity, and my body is supported by all the different food groups. It's a safe time to reproduce.
Right. So let's pivot. Let's pivot a little bit. Baby is here. Baby is here. Talk to me for our new moms. So our newly postpartum moms, they're in that fourth trimester. We know that nature kind of throws a wrench in there as well as we're trying to eat healthy. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So during the postpartum period, I think the first rule is always, always make sure you're eating enough. I think that we tend to, especially in our culture, we tend to really rush that process, you know, getting our bodies back and jumping back into the day-to-day activities, especially if we have toddlers around. So the biggest thing is making sure you're really taking that time to eat and snack and hydrate and listen to your body's needs during that time. You've gone through a lot during birth. Generally, no matter what type of birth you've had, people are wound mm-hmm. healing, you know, and your body takes a good amount of nutrients to wound heal. You're waking up every 2 hours, so you need a good amount of stamina. And of course, recovery. And if you've lost blood, your body's recovering from that. So really the biggest thing is to remember what you've been through, you know, and to honor that time. In other cultures and other countries, mom's not even allowed to like lift a finger besides her baby for the first 40 days.
Don't you think it's hard though? I mean, I like, so I hear hard. You. Okay. I hear you. And I've had two of these experiences, but then I also know mm-hmm. that I would open up the social media and see some housewife who just had a baby 2 months ago looking bikini ready. I mean, what would you say to that?
Yes. So, you know, we don't know what's going on the other side of that social media screen. And that's in this scenario and many others, you know? So, you know, to each his own. We don't know her story on the other side. So do what's best for you and for your baby. You know, we often rush that process and we tend to backfire, not only physically, but mentally for moms too. You know, we see that nutrition and really taking time to recover can help decrease risk of postpartum depression, can give mommy stamina and help our bodies recover so that when we are ready, we're ready. We're ready to recover. So I think the first rule is to make sure we're eating enough, and other foods that can really help with recovery is things that we've already talked about. So getting enough fat and protein, specifically your proteins, your animal products that we talked about have a good amount of collagen and zinc. And those two are really important for wound healing. Vitamin C is really important for wound healing. So of course your colorful fruits and veggies are always important. So making sure too that you're drinking enough fluids. You know, I think we sit down to nurse or something like that and we're like, oh shoot. So I always tell people, make sure you have a snack basket or a water basket around during that postpartum period. So those are some few things. Always accept help, you know, meal delivery services, a meal train, and you can always put your dietary restrictions on there if you have food sensitivities, but accept help. We don't have to be the super mom that is on like the Instagram story, you know. We have to do what's best for you and for our family and for your family. So I think that kind of having expectations on yourself that says, what are my goals during this postpartum period? Is my goal to get back in my bikini body? If that takes priority, then, you know, you may have to adjust your nutrition, you adjust your exercise, and that's probably going to push it, mm-hmm. you know, too hard. Is my goal to, you know, sit here and bond with my baby and breastfeed? Your body probably needs to make sure you're sitting and eating enough.
Yeah. I love all the benefits that you mention, just in terms of mood, and the fact that you're using mm-hmm. language like wound healing really paints the picture for mm-hmm. us, because sometimes we hear, oh, 6 weeks or 8 weeks until you can actually, and we circle that date on the calendar and we don't think about what's happening in our body that the nutrition supports.
100%. Right. We often think we're just eating to kind of get from day to day. And this is where it's really powerful when you start to think of food as medicine for your body and food as healing. And really that rest time is as a time for you to nourish your body because it's been through a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So foods that are super helpful for women during this time are similar foods that we've talked about that are helpful during the pregnancy. And really I tell people postpartum prep starts when you're pregnant. You know, mm-hmm. if your iron is high and your omega-3s are included in your diet and you've included a lot of green vegetables and folate and vitamin C and all the those important nutrients when you're pregnant, your nutrition bank, so to speak, is has had a lot of deposits. It's filled up so that you are more prepared during that postpartum period.
And let's make sure people are hearing you say nutrition mm-hmm. bank. And there's a difference between a nutrition bank and a caloric bank.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, let's touch on that. So when you're pregnant, your calorie needs go up a little bit. I mean, the books say 300 calories a day. So that's generally like an extra snack or a small extra meal. But like I mentioned with iron, your nutrition needs go up significantly. So it's more about quality of your diet rather than quantity. And if you're focused on you know, feeling empowered by saying, I'm going to make sure I'm getting eggs and vegetables and proteins and nuts and put extra color in my smoothie and extra eggs. And, you know, if you're focused on quality of your diet rather than quantity, we tend to be able to get what we need. And listen to your body. Again, we don't have to be perfect. So if someday you're craving like an Oreo blast, like go for it.
Yeah. Right, right. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good, like we said before.
Yeah.
Love that.
Exactly.
Love that. Oh, that's great. So I want to just pick your dietitian brain just a hair more about motherhood, and then we're going to get into some rapid fire. So
I'm ready.
We're out of the postpartum period. Now we're in the season of life, similar to where you are now, Kathy, where, you know, you've got young children. How about getting kids on board with healthy eating as they're beginning to develop those eating habits from a lifestyle perspective?
Yes, I love this question, mainly because, like you said, I'm here now, kind of with, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I'm right there with you. And I teach baby-led weaning and first food classes here in Nashville. And so I think this question is so fun. I think we're used to having mealtime being a stressful time for us as mothers, when we can actually take this time to really have fun and teach our children to be adventurous eaters. So I'll give you a couple tips here. But the reality is that our kids tend to be, you know, happier eaters and more adventurous eaters when they feel a sense of control. Mm-hmm. Like most of them will not feel like, you know, a response to pressure.
Right.
Right. We tend to back away if we're feeling pressure at the dinner table. So the first thing is really to include them in meal planning and meal prepping and plating, even plating their own food, kind of giving them a sense of control during
the mealtime. When you say plating, quite literally just putting the food on the plate itself.
Oh, absolutely. Any exposure is helpful. So even just touching the food and saying, what does this feel like? How does it smell? What does it taste like? Like helping them really explore, and plating, putting their food on a plate is just an easy way to include them. Like if you're not into helping them let you cook yet, plating is a really great place to start. So including them in meal prep of any sort is a great way of exposure. Another tip is to give them choices. Again, they like to feel a sense of control, and they generally make great decisions when we respect that part of their abilities. So you can give two choices, and again, you're still in control, but they think they are, right? So you say, hey, what would you like for a snack, an apple or an orange? And then they get to make that decision. What would you like for snack, yogurt or cottage cheese, right? And they get to have a say and generally respond pretty well. And if they're like, I don't want any of those choices, you can say, well, you have two choices. You can pick one of these, you know, and kind of, again, kind of bringing a positive light to that as well. So giving choices. And honestly, now every once in a while, I'll give my daughter, who's 4.5, a big choice. So I'll say, do you want an orange or a cookie? And actually sometimes on her own volition, we'll choose an orange instead of a cookie. And that's because we're trying to encourage her to respect her body and her needs and kind of mindfulness in her own eating. Okay. Now, not all the time. I'm not killing it at motherhood.
It shows that some of that is sticking. And I want to make sure people hear too, that you're giving either or options. This is something that we discussed with Bailey Garcia from Parents in Play in episode 31. She actually was talking about like nighttime routines and play, but it's the same thing. You're giving either or options and then allowing them to feel that sense of control.
Absolutely. It's really powerful, and it gives you something, that a tool that you can use and feel less stressed by dinner situation. And I think the last tip I would say is to lead by example rather than words. I think as moms, we tend to teach and talk probably too much. I'm saying that to myself.
Right.
And, you know, we can do a lot of fun talking and playing. Like, this is broccoli and there are little trees, and they tend to respond to that. But what I discourage people to say, oh, we're going to eat healthy tonight, or we're going, because generally that makes them say, oh, I don't want to do that. Or we're going to have a cheat night or something like that. Really leading by example rather than words. And exposure is key. So even them seeing healthy foods on your plate is a great exposure.
Absolutely. I'll link down again. You'll click on details, y'all, and then you'll see it in the show notes. I'm going to give you a link to our Mommy Masterclass on Modeling Healthy Behavior. You will hear Amy Schwartz open that up with, seriously, telling a story about how she doesn't like broccoli, but she eats it in front of her kids. And guess what? All six of her kids eat broccoli because they see
I love that.
Trying and doing it. Actions definitely speak louder than words, even in parenting.
Yeah, it's really powerful. That's great.
So, Kathy, rapid fire time.
Okay, ready.
You know, I was going to ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up. But then you said that, wow, from adolescence, you wanted to work with food, like food as a healing mechanism.
Mm-hmm. I think before that, I did want to be in the medical field, nurse before that, but I honestly don't remember anything else. You know, I remember thinking when I found out nutrition was a field, I was like, oh, in the medical field without, you know, I don't know, some of the downsides of the medical field, I'm in, I'm sold.
So. Yeah, and you're able to heal people's bodies through food and work in those interdisciplinary teams. Slam dunk. Your little girl self would be high-fiving you. Okay.
I know.
Another pivot here, though. So let's talk. Okay. This is the Run Lift Mom podcast, so we've got fitness buffs here. If you've got an hour to get your sweat on and work out, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. So I used to be a runner. I'm not so much anymore. And so now I still love to be outside, and I do, I push that double stroller with all my might and do kind of like a walk and run interval. That was what I would do if someone gave me an hour to work out. I really love, even in the heat, to sweat. So to walk and run.
Oh, you know, I love that. Mm-hmm. Bye, Brian Tech. Please sponsor this podcast. Just kidding. They're not.
Please.
That also make a quad. Moving on. No, I love that. And what I think people sometimes don't understand when they see moms getting their sweat on with one of those strollers is, you know, the stroller itself is probably 20, 25 pounds for a double. And then you've got the kids. And then if you've got the terrain that I know you do there in Nashville, man, that is a really good use of your time for that hour.
It's a good workout.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then finally, Kathy, what advice would you give your younger self for motherhood?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I think the biggest advice where I have to remind myself this every day, but especially as a new mom, is to really just live in the present. I've always been kind of a to-do list maker and a planner and looking forward. And so I think the best advice for myself, my younger self, but also my daily self, is to really just slow down and soak it up and enjoy the present.
I think there is no better way to end this. Kathy Stoner with Baby and Me Nutrition. I mean, out of the park. I'm so blessed to have you on here. And I'm going to put your information below so folks can find you.
That's awesome. Suthi, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy from Baby and Me Nutrition, for getting into the nitty-gritty about nourishing our bodies as we are growing baby and then caring for baby. I know that you guys can tell that Kathy is a fantastic teacher just by listening to her. If you want to dig in deeper with her, check out the show notes. You'll click details, and I have linked not only to her Instagram, where she gives a ton of great information, but also to the audio course that she teaches. She is absolutely the gold standard registered dietitian. What a blessing to have her. Until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8. And this has been the Run Lift Mom Podcast. My legs are tired. Bring me coffee. You guys, this is just one of the many shirts that I love from Sarah Marie Design Studio. They have running inspired gear, gifts, coffee mug, jewelry, you name it, they've got it. It's awesome. And if you use Run Lift Mom at checkout, you will save 10%. Go to SarahMarieDesignStudio.com and enter in Run Lift Mom at checkout for 10% off.